Many people might think it strange to ask the following question: Who is Jesus Christ? Well, while Jesus was in the flesh upon the earth, the majority of the people misunderstood who he was, and of course, who he still is. And today, most religious people, that's right, most religious people misunderstand the true nature of Christ, misapply his teachings, and mishandle his will. And the reason why that's the case is because they're not staying with the scriptures. And that's what we all must do to be able to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? So we'll want to begin our study, yes, in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, preparing for eternity. And hopefully, we're all doing just that. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville, as we come together to study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then we strive to worship God in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, that is, in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. I can assure you, you'll receive a warm welcome. Now, something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. And Bible studies, that's something we really look forward to having. If you're interested, please let us know. And something else we want to mention, we appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. One other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our times of service and our bulletin articles and the sick list and all of that, and our radio sermons as well. So hope you'll check us out. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, we want to start out with this question first. What misconceptions of Jesus the Christ did the common man have in the first century? And that's certainly going to be the case as we go to the scriptures and see this, as we want to start out our study in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. Notice with me, Matthew 16:13-19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's the question, isn't it? And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," that would be Elijah, "and others Jeremias," or that is Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" So now he's asking the disciples directly. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Not even death will stop Christ from building his church. Excuse me. and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, you see, here is our Lord and Savior asking the question, not for his own knowledge, but for his disciples and our benefit today. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 13. He did not ask, what do the religious leaders say, but the common folks. And notice the different answers. Well, certainly Jesus was not John the Baptizer, the immerser, risen from the dead with his head back on his shoulders. Yes, as Herod the Tetrarch had thought. Notice back over in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Well, he was mistaken. And so was other people who were saying that he was Elijah the Tishbite, the courageous prophet of old, over in Mark 6:15. No, Jesus was not Elijah returning. Nor was he Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as some had said. Nor was he one of the prophets of the Old Testament, as all these answers were wrong, except Peter's answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 16. Then Jesus said that he will build his church upon the rock of truth of Peter's confession. Not upon Peter himself, no, but the rock of truth. That is the statement that Peter made, which is certainly the truth. Verse 18. Now, if we go over to chapter 22, let's notice Jesus asked the Pharisees this question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Verse 42. Well, as we go back to verse 41, you see, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Yes, he's asking these Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now notice. And they say unto him, the son of David. Verse 42. And Jesus then replies, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So you see, they acknowledged the humanity of Christ being in the line of David, but they refused to acknowledge him as David's Lord, and they said nothing of his deity. Well, that's just like Jewish folks we know, and we have friends, of course, and Muslims. Some of us have neighbors who are Muslims nowadays. Well, of course, we treat them as we want to be treated, and we hope, of course, to influence them to give up a false religion. But I'm bringing this up because Jewish folks, Muslims, and others, of course, as well, refuse to acknowledge and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. The Muslims say God didn't have a son. No, that's not right. Well, you notice the Holy Spirit caused Mary, the virgin, to conceive a child. And thus, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, as we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Emmanuel means what? In Matthew 1:23, God with us. sad so many are not acknowledging the deity of Christ. But here you see the people sought to distinguish between the Messiah and the Son of Man. In John 12, 32 through 34, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Well, we want to discuss more about the Son of Man, Lord willing, next week. But here's the point. They did not believe that the Messiah could be as a common man. And Jesus, of course, being the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. And he appeared as a common Jew. You wouldn't have recognized him, as a lot of the paintings portray Jesus as very handsome. No, he didn't stand out that way. He could go through the crowd and not even be noticed sometimes. Well, here's something to note. As these folks did not realize two vital facts, the scriptures foretold Jesus' death. Yes, he's going to die. But of course, he's going to be resurrected. So they didn't understand that the scriptures foretold not only his death, but also that he would be raised from the tomb and continue to reign throughout the gospel dispensation. They didn't understand those two vitally important facts. Isaiah 53, the suffering Savior. Psalm 22:1, the very words Jesus said on the cross, and so forth. So we know, of course, in Daniel 7:13 and 14, prophesied long before Jesus came into the flesh upon the earth. This is the prophecy of Daniel. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him," notice, "dominion and glory and a kingdom." This is, of course, speaking of Christ after his ascension up into heaven. "That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Now that's speaking of the church. And there's only one kingdom in the spiritual sense. Jesus said, "I will build my church," singular. He didn't promise to build churches, but my church. Let's always appreciate the distinguished church of Christ. Yes, it's his church. It's his body. It's his kingdom. The Lord's church. That's right. But let's go on. And now ask this question: what misconceptions of Jesus the Christ do many people have today? Well, unfortunately, and this is sad to say, many people create in their minds a Christ from a modernistic or a liberal approach. In other words, man's philosophies. And some of these modernists think they're a very educated scholar. Well, when you go against the Word of God, what kind of scholar could you be? Certainly not an elevated one, in my opinion, because they deny his virgin birth. For example, Isaiah 7:14, we know, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." That is, Isaiah turned to the people of Israel. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." This is the virgin. Matthew 1:22 and 23, the fulfillment of that prophecy. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet," that we just read, "saying, Behold, a virgin," the virgin, "shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," notice, "which being interpreted is God with us." Never forget that. None of us Something else they reject is his atoning death and precious blood. Yes, his precious blood bought blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And we'll go on. They deny the triumphant resurrection of Christ. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we would only stay with the Scriptures, we would know the truth. And that will set us free as we submit to it. But again, we're noticing the modernistic, liberal approach. How people have misconceptions of Christ because they reject his reign on the throne over his church, the spiritual kingdom of God. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Did we get that? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence? Not some man-made pope on the earth. No. Ephesians 1:22-23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, in the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's stay with the Word of God. But again, we're looking at misconceptions of Jesus the Christ that people have today. How many deny the second coming? They deny that Jesus raised the dead. They deny that there's going to be a final judgment. They deny that there's two destinies, heaven or hell, one or the other. Yes, they're denying these things. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, notice, in the clouds, and remain, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's right, not on the earth, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. We don't want to be among those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, sir. And you see, as these modernists and liberals strip our Lord of his deity, they want to leave him as a man. But notice Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, Jesus is eternal, and he is a protector as a father. And if you'll go to Isaiah chapter 22, you'll see a commentary on Everlasting Father. Yes, verses 21 and 22, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengtheneth him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. Now notice, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. That's the prophecy of Christ. Certainly. And thus we have a commentary on Isaiah 9:6. But let's go on in our study now and see other misconceptions that people are having today concerning Jesus the Christ. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses see Jesus as a created angel. They do not accept the Christ of the Bible. In their perverted translation, or version, New World Translation it's called, they have little g in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital G, not little g. Try to find out the names of the translators of the New World Translation, and you won't be able to get them. I've tried many times in the past, and no one was ever able to get those for me. We have others, again, with misconceptions of Christ, and that is today. How many embrace Catholicism? Well, that's quite a lot of folks throughout the world, isn't it? But the problem is, they're picturing Jesus as one who is lacking in power and authority because they have a vicar, the Pope, to represent Christ here on the earth. Christ does not need a vicar to represent his cause because he has all authority and is reigning now. Yes, in heaven. Matthew 28:18. All power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And having that authority, Jesus then commissioned his disciples. Sad to say, the Catholic Church has set Mary up as a mediator. She was a wonderful woman to be chosen by God to bring forth Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior in the flesh. But she is not a mediator, nor are other departed saints. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. Are we going to stay with the Word of God or listen to what someone else tells us? We better stay with the Word of God. The Catholic Church has invented their own Christ geared to the physical sense, touch, taste, sight, and so forth. Candles, crosses, paintings, robes, beads, holy water. Well, many other things I could name, but these are man-made traditions. They're not from the Scriptures. They've changed the doctrine of Christ to the papal edicts. The Pope makes the rules, in other words, which contradict the Bible. Study Colossians 2:18-23, 1 Timothy 4:1-3, and you'll see that it was known what was coming before it came, the departure from the faith. And so Catholicism came out of the true church. But let's go on, because there are others with misconceptions of the true Christ. And they're called Protestants. And they have protested against the Catholic Church. We understand that. But they started new churches instead of going back to the New Testament and restoring the true church. They started new churches and created in their minds a Christ that's foreign to the Bible. Why is that, you ask? Because they have Christ pleased with every institution that calls itself a church, regardless of what they teach or do not teach. Is that not true? Well, notice Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15:13. In Luke 8:11, the seed, the Word of God, grows only Christians. You see, the plant that's planted by man is going to be rooted up. All the churches that began somewhere else other than Jerusalem in the first century is not the true church. It cannot be. Not because I say it, but because the Bible says it. we can know the truth. Jesus said this, didn't he not, to the disciples that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do we know the truth? Not if we don't study the scriptures. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. Denominations have Christ as the head of hundreds of different religious bodies that contradict each other. And that's believing contradictions are true, which is agnostic philosophy. Now, they wouldn't say that, of course, but that's the reality of it. Is Christ divided, Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 1:13? Certainly not. Jesus promised to build one church, Matthew 16:18. In Ephesians 4:4, there's one body. Not many, one body. Yes, so we're seeing misconceptions of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, today, are we not? Remember the Da Vinci Code? It was a best-selling novel written by Dan Brown, made a movie, and the suggestion was that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and they had a child together. Well, Brown reacted to the corruption in the Catholic Church, but he didn't know who Jesus really is. I hope he does now, before it's too late. So it comes down to this. We can accept Jesus Christ one of two ways. That's right, one of two ways. Number one, imagined in the mind of man. Or number two, the real, truthful, scriptural Jesus Christ. And it better be number two here, that we acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ and we understand his nature because we study the Word of God. So as we close out our study this morning, do we accept Jesus as he is or as we desire him to be? Do we appreciate Jesus' suffering and death on the cruel cross of Calvary? What does our life say? Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, died in my place and in yours as well. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That's the key. We must obey him to have salvation. Have we shown our gratitude by obeying the gospel and by our daily living? Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9:23. We stand ready to assist anyone that's of the age of accountability in obeying the gospel. First, we must hear the truth, Romans 10:17. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent of our sins and make a change of wills, Luke 13:3-5. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. The next step puts us into Christ, baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. We thank you so much for listening today.